Well, good morning, everyone.
Good to see you this morning. Set up here. Okay, so we are starting we're out of the end times. Woo! Okay, so we're starting our series. It's called Kicking It Old Sunday School. And this graphic was actually made by Laura DeAngelo. She's Laura that sings here and plays piano. So very nice job on that one. So it's always nice to have a graphic for our own purposes and like to have a unique graphic for the sermon series. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into the message today. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful for each person that's here. I'm thankful, Lord, that we could sit here in the cool air conditioning and worship you and hear your word and just be together as a church family. And we're thankful for all the ministries and all the things that are going on, Lord. And we just pray that you would just continue to bless and encourage each one of us as we seek to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have a question for you. Are you a complainer? Yeah. I'm going to give you a little test, some questions that I came up with. The first is, do you focus more on what caused the problem rather than the solution to the problem? You know this? Something happens, there's a problem, and you, if this didn't happen, if that didn't happen, if this didn't happen, that, right? And you complain about it rather than focusing your energy on what the solution of the problem is. This is an old one. Is the glass half empty? Right? Or half full. Do you have a can't-do attitude? You look at something and you're like, oh, can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Whatever that is. Next is, are you always looking for the problem with an idea or doing something? For example, somebody says, let's go on a hike. Like, the problem is, right? I don't have the right shoes on. The hiking's too far. Whatever it is, you know, there's somebody comes up with an idea or suggestion, you always have a problem with it. Do you regularly share negative feelings and personal problems with others? Right? You know that person. How you doing? Oh, why did I ask? I should have just said hi. Right? And they share their negative feelings and the personal problems and things that they're going through at that time. It's just a fire hose of complaints. Here's one. You got to pay attention closely to this one. Is 74 degrees too cold and 76 degrees too hot? You know those people, right? I mean, you heard it already today, right? It's humid out. The other day it was cold out, right? Everybody, like, you always have a complaint about something. And the final one is, do you use phrases like these days, saying things, oh, it was better back then, or it was so much better 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Do you know what the scriptures say about that one? Why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. So, if any of these questions struck a nerve, you might be a complainer. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all have a little bit of a complaint on certain things. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to start our summer series called Kicking It Old Sunday School. And we're going to look at one of the most popular Sunday school accounts, maybe of all time. And that is the account of Jonah. Some say Jonah and the whale. And you may not know this, but the point of the account of Jonah is not that someone could survive in the belly of a whale for 3 days. That's not the point. Maybe when you left Sunday school as a little kid, that's what you thought the point was. But there's so many spiritual lessons that can be learned from the account of Jonah. But really what I want to focus in on today is this: how to not complain. Okay, so if you walked in here as a complainer, I'm going to give you some really good steps on how to not complain. You see, Jonah had a complaining attitude. And because of that, his actions resulted in a crazy account. And we're going to start off in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. The Assyrians lived there. The Assyrians were a people group that came against Israel many times, did nasty, horrible things to them. They were a very sinful group of people. Just to give you some perspective here, where Jonah went, and since it's Sunday school, we're going to give you a little map, okay? So Jonah started in that place called Gath Hepher, which is a little suburb of Israel. He went down to Joppa, and see where Nineveh is? Okay, he went down to Joppa, away from Nineveh, and got on a ship going to Tarshish. Jonah was in that little city, and then God asked him to go to Nineveh. So Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh to warn them of God's judgment and turn away from their sinful ways, he decided to go in the exact opposite direction. And in fact, in the days of Jonah, many suggest they believe Tarshish was the furthest place on earth that you can go from Israel, okay? This was the furthest place. So Jonah was like, I am out of here. God says go this way, I am going that way. Now, this disobedience from Jonah really gives us our first way not to complain. And that is simply this, obey right away, okay? The Mirazik kids remember us saying this a lot. We said this to our kids a lot, obey right away. Just as a side note, for you parents that are actively parenting right now, please teach your kids to obey right away. You are not giving them any, you're doing them a huge disservice if they do not obey what you tell them to do as they're growing up. So Jonah had the amazing advantage of knowing that going to Nineveh was the right thing. Why? Because God told him to do it. So God tells him to do something and he doesn't do it. He had an advantage to know, okay, is this the right thing to do? Let me ask God. Yes, it's the right thing to do. So as we'll later see, Jonah eventually goes to Nineveh, but because he did not obey right away, he had many misfortunes to complain about in his situation. So when we do the right thing from the start, it minimizes our complaints because we put our head down, we do what we have to do, and generally speaking, doing the right thing has right results. Generally speaking, doing the right thing has right results. When we do the wrong thing, we reap consequences. So in Jonah's case, here's what happens. He flees to Joppa, gets on the boat for Tarshish. A huge storm rolls in, and the captain and crew of the ship were afraid for their lives. They started throwing cargo overboard to lighten up the load in hopes that their ship didn't sink and that they would survive the storm. Then they found out Jonah was a Hebrew that was running from God, and Jonah knew that this storm was due to his disobedience. So let's look. It says this. He said to them, this is what Jonah said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. So at this point, Jonah was done running, and he knew his disobedience was putting other people in danger. So do you see what he said right here? Kill me, okay? Throw me overboard and kill me. So they threw Jonah overboard, the sea calmed down, and what happened next is what makes the account such a popular Sunday school lesson, and that is this. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, a couple of comments I want to make here about what happened. The first is sometimes people mock the Bible and say, things like that can't happen. Well, the truth is, it did, okay? Even Jesus referenced it twice in Matthew 12 and Matthew 16, that this is an account. This isn't a fairy tale, okay? This is something that actually happened. And I know, you know, somebody's going to come up to me after, I saw this Discovery Channel thing, that somebody actually did get swallowed by a whale, and they actually lived through it. I don't care, okay? It's good that that happened, whatever. That doesn't validate it for me. This validates it for me. I listen to what God's word says. If it's with God, it is possible. Now, the second is this. God appointed. or some translations say prepared or provided, the big fish, or some would say the whale. The point is, this happening was actually an act of God. In God's grace and his mercy, he was willing to spare the life of Jonah, the man that was currently in disobedience to him. Jonah, go do this. God, no, I'm running. Jonah, thrown overboard, could have easily died. God provided a fish to save his life, to save him from drowning. Do you know what this actually reminds me of? It reminds me of what Jesus has done for us in our disobedience. Now, you'll notice a common theme when I go through all these Old Testament accounts of Sunday school stories. They always point to Jesus. They always point to Jesus. Now, in Romans, it talks about how we were in disobedience, but Jesus saved us. Let's look. It says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what the ungodly are? Us, right? For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we, you and I, were still sinners in disobedience, running from God or turning our back on God, Christ was willing to stretch out his arms and die on the cross for us, shed his blood for us. Then he rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And the scriptures say, all who believe will have eternal life. Like God the Father provided Christ for us in our disobedience to save us from spiritual death, he provided that big fish to swallow Jonah to save him from physical death. So God provides a way for Jonah to live and for us to live spiritually. But when we do the wrong thing, we normally deal with some consequences. Now I'm talking as a believer. When we do the wrong thing, although we're spiritually saved for eternity, sometimes there's consequences that we pay on this earth. Results of our disobedience. When we didn't obey right away and decided to take the long road, then the complaints start. We do something wrong. We start to reap the consequences. Clearly, it's not my fault. So now I'm going to complain. We blame other people. We blame God. We blame the system. We complain and blame and trust that the situation didn't happen because of me and my disobedience. There's some other reason. But then we eventually can come to the conclusion, if I would have obeyed right away, maybe I wouldn't have much to complain about, because we did what God wanted us to do. Now, in Jonah's case, in chapter 2, what happens is we have Jonah in the belly of the whale or the fish, and he has a prayer of repentance, which is a change of mind. He prayed from the belly of the fish. In this prayer, he basically says, because of my disobedient actions, I was as good as dead, but you saved me. I'm alive right now. I'm still breathing. I mean, the room I have is not great, but I'm still breathing. So his attitude and outlook was adjusted to be in line with what a follower of God should think and act like. And I would love to say at this point, it's all over. Okay. His attitude was changed and things are looking good, but it's actually not the case. So the fish spit Jonah out on dry land and again told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Here's what he said. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it the message I tell you. So the message was, turn away from your sinful actions, and I will relent from any disaster that's going to be brought down upon you because of your sinful actions. That was the message. So this time Jonah obeyed. Guess what? The people listened. In fact, the entire city, including the king, listened. And this is what the king said. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So now, most of you are thinking this. I'm sure Jonah learned his lesson and thought to himself, man, I should have obeyed right away, and I could have avoided running away. I could have avoided the storm. I could have avoided being fish vomit. I could have avoided all these different things that happened to me if I would have just listened to God and went and told these people the message. And the added bonus is they listened. Now remember, obedience was just going and telling. In Jonah's mind, it really didn't matter whether they listened or not. But in this case, they listened. You think Jonah would be happy about that. But Jonah is very honest with the fact that his attitude was bad when he ran, and his attitude is now still bad. So he complains against God. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Could you imagine? I'll just say this. Jonah's messed up, okay? He is seriously messed up because the result was he went and preached, they listened. And now he's so upset that he wants to die. He can't live another day seeing these people that he hated prospering. So essentially, Jonah was so mad that they would prosper, he wished they were dead. He wished he were dead. Which brings us to our second way not to complain. And this might be a tough one for some of you. And that is this. Be for other people. Be for other people instead of against them. Jonah did not like them. He did not like those people. In fact, he hated them so much he did not want God to have grace on them. Now you may be thinking, I understand that. Jonah saw these enemies. He hated them. He saw what he did to his people. He saw what they did to his people. They were nasty, sinful people deserving of God's judgment. I want them to get what they deserve. Maybe you are thinking, there are people in your life I do not want to see good happen to. Right here, Jonah's saying, I didn't want to warn them because I knew if they listen that I have a good God, that I have a gracious God, a merciful God, a patient God, who would spare them. So if that's something that you're struggling with, if you're the type of person that does not want to see somebody who you're at odds with prosper, you have to remember what Jesus said. He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." And that's the statement of saying, show people you're a child of God. "For he makes his sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" Tax collectors is interchangeable with sinners, basically, at that point. So sometimes when something good happens to someone we don't like, it is very hard for us to be happy for them. So we complain. Maybe not out loud, but maybe in our hearts we complain. I can't believe that happened. I did not want to see that person prosper. I'm upset right now. I'm complaining. Maybe you're not blessed like that person is blessed. So you complain. I want to be blessed like that. How could this person be blessed like that? They're a terrible person. I can't stand them. Whatever it is, whatever's going on in your heart and mind, it needs to be adjusted. It needs to be adjusted. But here's the thing. Some of us understand this enemy thing a little better than others, right? Some of us say, okay, yeah, I get it. I see why Jonah, you know, would really have a hard time with this. You know, who knows? Maybe something happened to his family. We don't have any extra biblical material to tell us exactly what happened to Jonah's family when the Syrians attacked, whatever. But even more interesting is this. When we, in our complaints, can't be happy for the people that we know and love because we're so caught up in complaining about what we don't have or complaining about the things that we do have not being good enough or complaining things are not going my way. So when I see somebody I know and love prospering, it's kind of like seems like a dagger being twisted because I'm reminded that my life is not what I want it to be. Do you know where this stems from? Stems from envy, jealousy, and pride. So if we struggle with a complaining spirit, what we need to do is we need to learn to be for other people. So then the question becomes, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I sit back and things are going wrong and see somebody and things are going right and they're very close to me and be happy for them? Well, that's a great question. I think it really starts with something called empathy. Okay, empathy is this, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person. Putting yourself in their shoes. Actually, Paul talks about this in Romans 12. He says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So he's talking about the enemy thing. But then he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. You know what? When something good happens to other people, we should treat them, empathy, treat them the way that we would want to be treated when something good happens to us. How do you want to be treated when something good happens to you? Right? When something good happens to you, there's some people that you might text or call or go see. Why? Because they're the people that you know are going to be like, yeah, I'm so happy for you. I'm glad this went your way. Yeah, we want them to rejoice when we rejoice. When something bad happens to you, how do you want someone to treat you? Well, you look for the people that are compassionate and loving and concerned. And when you're crying, they're going to cry right next to you. They're not going to think in their minds like, well, you know what? I'm better off than them. I'm comparing myself to them. And their misfortune makes me feel better about myself. It's a sick and twisted way of living, but people do think like this. So where does this complaining spirit really come from? And I think it's pretty deep-rooted. There can be many places, but I think here's what happens. We focus too much on other people and not enough on ourselves. And what I mean by that, and not the selfish way of focusing on yourself, like I need everything to go my way and I'm going to do everything for myself and I'm forgetting about other people. It's meaning this. We compare ourselves with other people. We look at them and we ignore what God has done in our lives. So we compare, we look at them, they have this, they have that, this is going their way, this is going, and we compare, and we forget to focus in on what God has done for us. So we complain, which really brings us to the final way that we complain, and that is this. We need to realize God's grace in our lives. We need to realize what God has done for us. Not paying attention to what's going on with everybody else, but pay attention to what's going on in my life and how God is working with me. Now, there are a few ways in Jonah's life that show God's grace, and the first and most obvious is the big fish, right? The big fish. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is God's grace, okay? Saving Jonah from certain death of drowning. Jonah was in disobedience and deserved to die, but God was not letting that happen. God was not letting that happen. The second way is at the end of the account. Do you realize this, what happened with Jonah? Is after God relented, okay? God relented. Jonah went outside the city of Nineveh to see what was going to happen. So he went out, God relented, it says God relented, but Jonah went out to sit outside the city to see, is the Lord going to relent? Or maybe when I complained against the Lord and act like a teenager and said, I want to die, God's going to change his mind. This is very interesting, right? I guess in some sick, twisted way, Jonah thought the Lord would change his mind because he complained to him. Which, as a side note, Don't be deceived. Your complaints do nothing. You realize that? You might spend a lot of time in your day complaining, and it does nothing positive. I'll tell you what it does do. It makes you real annoying. It makes people not want to be around you, right? It displeases God. I mean, we can probably list another 10 things that complaining actually does, but what I will tell you this is it accomplishes nothing. And I'm speaking to myself here, because sometimes I do like to complain, and I do fall into that. So Jonah, sitting there watching, says this, "Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant." So here in God's grace, he's sitting there waiting like, let's see if God takes these people out. And God's like, okay, Jonah, here's a nice shady plant for you. I'm going to give you another object lesson, and I'm going to shade your head, and I'm going to make sure you're not too uncomfortable. So Jonah, exceedingly glad, happy about it. But then what happens next? "But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than live." I mean, here we go again. Three times, Jonah, like, throw me over the boat. I want to die. I want to die. Okay? That's his mindset. That's his mindset. But notice a couple of things. God appointed the worm. God appointed the scorching wind. Jonah complained. But we can understand that complaint, right? Because these are a couple of negative things that happen. So we're like, yeah, he has a right to complain. But then God steps in and says, you don't have a right, okay? "But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And Jonah said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die, okay? Here again, talking back to God. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" So pity, when he says pity, I think a better translation is concern or compassion. Concern or compassion. God is not being mean to Jonah. God is teaching Jonah an object lesson. You have concern for a plant, and you're upset that it died because it brought you something good. It brought you that shade. I have a concern, this is God saying, I have a concern and a compassion on these people. I care about them. I care about these people, and actually it says, and much cattle, okay? I care about the people and the animals. Essentially, God is saying, because of my compassion, I give people what they need. In the case of the people living in Nineveh, it's grace. They needed grace. They didn't know better. It says they didn't know their left hand from their right. Which one's which, right? I don't know what's going on here. And God is saying, hey, listen, these people need grace. They need to know that I am a loving, compassionate God. I chose to use you to tell them this is what they need. See, we need to realize God's grace towards us is based on what we need. See what happened here? God gave Jonah the whale to save him. It's what he needed. God gave Jonah the shade, right? It's what he needed. So now think about this for a second. What you complain about in life oftentimes is not having something, not having what we want, not having the things go the way that we want them to go. But did you ever stop to consider maybe you already have what you need and you need to focus in on that? Maybe God has already blessed you what you need, but you're so busy looking elsewhere. and looking at other things so you complain. Think about this. Just take it day by day. It's Sunday. Think about how your day can go today when you focus in on the grace and good things God has already blessed you with. Think about that. You do that today. How's your day going to go? Do that tomorrow. How's your day going to go? Do that the next day. How's your day going to go? You know, in the hit song by U2 called Beautiful Day, Bono sings this. He says, "It's a beautiful day. Don't let it get away." Then he says this, "What you don't have, you don't need it now." Think about that. So we're wasting these beautiful days that God has given to us thinking about things that we probably don't need. God's already given us what we need. So if we could spend your day complaining, which we already saw that it accomplishes nothing, or you can spend your day thanking God. You can waste your days complaining and focusing in on what's wrong and what you don't have and what's bothering you, or you can spend your days letting God know how thankful you are that He has blessed you, letting others know how thankful you are that God has blessed you, and then taking that and saying, you know what? I'm not going to be the person that complains. Do you realize this? This is where the account of Jonah ends. I don't know what happened to this guy. Nobody does, okay? I can only imagine he was laying down face forward, kicking and screaming like a toddler saying, "I wish I were dead because I don't like the way things go." That's not a hero, okay? That's not somebody I want to follow. Is it somebody you want to follow? No. But if we take a page out of his book and continue to complain like him, that's the type of person that we'll be. But if we look to what God has done in our lives already and praise Him for it, that's going to be a testimony to the people around us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for this account that we can look to see what Your Word has to say. I pray, Lord, for us as believers that we do obey You right away to minimize the complaints that we'll have. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be for other people, whether it be an enemy or someone that we love that we're having a hard time being happy for and joyful for. I pray, Lord, that You would just help us to celebrate the grace that You've given us in our lives. So I'm thankful again for this day, thankful for this church, and I just pray all these things in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen.